I'd like to take just a moment to talk to you about being an example
and the power that that has.
Sometimes in my life, I have not given all of the credit or realized the extent to which my example may have affected other people. And when I stop to think about the way other people's examples have affected me, it's sobering. I know when I look at myself in the mirror, I see parts of my dad, parts of my mom, the physical things. But I also catch myself saying some of the things that my father said or my mother said. And I realize that it never was something that my mom and dad set out to teach me. They didn't set me down and say, "Gerald, I want you to memorize this expression. So when you're happy or you're exasperated, that these words come out of your mouth." They never said that. But yet, that's what happens because of their example. And I can be very thankful that I had some good examples in most things in life. And so, it's a good thing. But it makes me think about how easy it is to set an example and the power that that example can have. I think about that with my children and now with my grandchildren. And I see the effect of that every day I go to work at school. The effect of a poor example or a great example, either one, that it has on those children's lives. In Proverbs 22:6, a very famous passage, the Bible says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That is not just giving verbal instructions to your child. If it were, we'd have it made as a parent. We'd just hand them a manual and they could finally read, and that'd be the end of it. Wow, wouldn't that be easier than what is the truth? Truth is, our actions, as the proverbial statement says, speak louder than words. Our actions teach even things that we aren't intending to teach. Our actions teach things that we don't have any idea that we're teaching. And that's why it's so important for us to understand how powerful our example is. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, the Lord was instructing His people about how important it was to realize that power of the example. Starting in the 4th verse, He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes." Down in the 17th verse of that same chapter, He says, "You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, His testimonies and His statutes, which He has commanded you, and you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you, and that you may go in and possess the good land of which the Lord swore to your fathers." So it was telling your children, it was showing your children. Now look at what God wanted the response of teaching and being an example to the children to do. Go down to the 20th verse. "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you?' Then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us up out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before our eyes, great and severe, against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then He brought us out from there that He might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is to this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. So we see that the Lord's ideal here is that parents would instruct with words in a continual way, that it would be a part of their life, and they would instruct by example. They would observe the commands, the statutes of the Lord. They would obey them, and their children would see that and understand and learn what the Lord wanted them to do. The power of example. It's a simple concept. There isn't anything complex about this. It's just difficult to do sometimes because our flesh gets in the way of us doing what we need to do, and it's very easy for us to forget the consequences. You see, when I am disobedient to the Lord, I am not the only one being affected by that disobedience. Let me say that again. When I am disobedient to the Lord, I am not the only one that's being affected by that disobedience. That should be a sobering thought. Every eye that watches, every ear that listens, is going to be affected by my disobedience. The power of example. We are to be an example to other people, not just our children. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the 15th verse says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." Now, if we have never exhibited God's love in the way we interact with other people, if we've never disciplined ourselves to obey in front or in the sight of other people, why would we need to give a defense? Would they even question? Would they even see a difference in us? So what I think is implicit in this statement is that we are doing in public the things that would cause others to see Christ in us. And then we're ready, because we know the effect, we know the power of an example is going to work. That's the way God designed things. When we do what God's asked us to do, we set the example, there's going to be a result from it. And that result could be that people love what they see and ask why. It could be that people hate what they see and persecute us because of it. But either way, the power of example has had its way. Jesus is the one that we look to for our example. Adam made reference this morning to how that we can be disillusioned sometimes if we look at other people that we look up to and then we're disappointed by them. But each of us has the perfect example. We are never in a state where we could be disillusioned by the power of Christ's example. He's the perfect example. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the 3rd verse, "For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." Listening to, in our adult class on Sunday mornings, what Christ went through the last few weeks of his life should sober all of us and help us understand that we don't have anything to live in this life compared to what Christ had to endure. We have similar things in some ways, but not to the extent that Christ had to endure them. So I believe that's why the Hebrew writer here says, consider him. He is our example. The power of that example should change our life. It should keep us from becoming discouraged. Because if Christ in his humanity can have overcome what he did, then I should be able to endure what I am set to do in this life. In 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verse 1, Paul makes the statement, imitate me, but he doesn't stop with that. He says, just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. So Paul, even being an apostle, referred to Christ as the ultimate example. Philippians 2 and verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ humbled himself and made himself a servant for others. This is our example. If we are to follow that example, if we will follow that example, it will be a powerful testimony to Christ's love to those that are in the world. How many people do you see? You see some, but how many, compared to all those that you encounter, show that kind of an example? If I look back through all of the years in the workplace that I've been in, I could probably count on my fingers the number of people that I would have said exhibited that kind of love for other people, that kind of servitude for other people over about a 30-year period. Not that many. So when we have the strength, when we have the courage, when we have the self-discipline through the power of Christ to be an example of Christ's love to the world, we will stand out. And it doesn't have to be the big things. It doesn't have to be the flashy things. It can be caring for someone with a comment. It can be caring for somebody by doing a job for them that when they need it the most. It can be being a peacemaker between two of your coworkers or two of your friends, helping bring people back together rather than gossiping and causing people to go apart the way a lot of people do. It can be simply a smile. The power of a smile is an amazing thing because it communicates that you have something worthwhile to share with the world. You're in a good place and you want to share that with others. Those little things all add up, especially if you're with that group of people on a regular basis. They're going to see it. The power of that example will make a difference. You can make a difference if you're willing to accept your responsibility to be that example. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, we see that negative examples are also very powerful. We're looking at the children of Israel and the way they were punished for their idolatrous ways. Now these things become our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We go down to the 11th verse. Now all these things happened to them as examples. They were written for our admonition of whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. There's a lot of other examples in the Bible that we could use here. But the point that I would like to bring home tonight is that, first of all, an example is a powerful thing. We need to realize how powerful it is, how the impact that it's had on us, and the impact that we can have on others. Second, we need to fill ourselves with the example of Jesus. He's the perfect example. When we allow his example to influence us, we will become something different, something better than we were before. And Thirdly, when we are working with our children, our grandchildren, the children in our congregation, we understand that our actions speak as loudly or more loudly than our words. If we want them to be able to do something, if we want them to have a good attitude about serving the Lord, if we want them to be willing to take a stand, they need to be seeing us do that on a regular basis. I thank the Lord that I'm with a group of people where I think that is what they want to do, and I appreciate that, and I see those examples over and over again. If you're here this evening and you would like to commit yourself to the Lord and be a part of a group of people who is wanting to be a positive example in the world, not to be brought down by the examples in the world, but to show the world an example that will lift them up. If that's your desire this evening, or we can help you in any other way, please come forward as we stand and sing.